For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar. Ah, plantain,
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Arsenal edition. This is your host, Dean. And per usual, I am here with my lovely, lovely co-hosts, Mitch. What's going on, lovely Mitch?
What a lovely end to a terrible, terrible game to watch.
I didn't know you felt that strongly about it. Hi, Gabby. How are you?
Happy to be here again.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, let's get right into it. This was the classic trap game, guys. Everyone is sort of looking ahead to Porto, I think. There's been a lot of... I've been on Twitter a bit too often, and I've seen a lot of bold chatter from the Arsenal fan base or members of the Arsenal fan base, and I'm just like, isn't there a game this weekend that we need to focus on as opposed to talking about how we're going to pump Porto 5-0, which I hope happens, but this was a classic trap game, and it actually played out like a trap game. But before we get into the details of the game, the lineup, as always, we always start with the lineup. Obviously, Aaron Ramsdale came in for David Raya because David Raya is still a Brentford player, technically, and he's on loan from Brentford. And we had Trossard in for Martinelli. Gabby, either one of these surprise you?
No, honestly, I figured, well, we already had people panicking about the Martinelli being gone because he came off hobbling in the last game. So I figured that. The only thing that I was confused about is if, well, I shouldn't say confused, but the only thing I was worried about is if we would play Zinchenko or not. And I was like, I don't think he's going to be ready to start. So this is the lineup I expected to play.
Okay. Mitch, we didn't have a choice in the goalkeeper issue, but were you nervous?
For whatever reason, and I think it's always interesting when a new player comes into an Arsenal team. And like immediately kind of feels like a step up because you'll step back down again and you're like, oh, I was like okay with this. I was okay with like this kind of feeling. And I don't think that Aaron Ramsdale's performances in the two Brentford games this season is totally representative of what he was as an Arsenal goalkeeper when he was starting for 2 years. But there's a sense of nervousness that kind of surrounds him now that we just do not get from Raya. The number one adjective we've used to describe him has been calmness, and not the case when it comes to Ramsdale. And I would describe this game as a very Ramsdale performance because there were some fucking highs. He had some moments where he looked really good. And then obviously the big fucking low. So a very Ramsdale game.
Fair enough, fair enough. The game, I don't remember much about the start. I didn't think we started poorly, but by the 15th minute, I was thinking to myself, I don't like this. Did anyone else share my emotions on that one? Gabby?
Yeah, I feel that. I wasn't worried about it, but we didn't start the way, obviously, we've gotten accustomed to hitting teams fast in the last few games, but we didn't start like that at all. And I didn't think it was going to be a game like that anyway, especially when you take out Martinelli. We just looked not necessarily lethargic, but like we were thinking too hard about what we were doing. We're overactive, like standing on the ball a lot more, like overthinking our passes, taking extra touches, which is what we were doing in the first half of the season, which I didn't like. And that all came out in this first half.
Mitch, do you concur?
Yeah, I think that just the game as a whole, there was a, from the time when Deck scores, which spoilers, I guess, because we haven't gotten to that yet. After Rice scores, we started looking better until like the end of the first half, which was even before Ramsdale's mistake, was terrible vibes. The vibes sucked the last like 5-10 minutes of the half. And I wasn't crazy about the start either. I felt very nervous watching the game. There was a lot of passages of play where I'm like, we look really good, we look fun to watch, but I still have that kind of sense of nervousness. And I wasn't exactly sure why, but then, you know, when you have a individual fuck up in the way that Ramsdale did, you know, it, oh, that's why I was a little nervous.
Yeah, fair enough. Carry on, Gabby. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think that we all felt the nervousness, and not just because like Ramsdale was in there, but like, I feel that you could see how momentous this game was. Like, just like looking at the table, you know what it means to win this game, and you could tell in the stadium they knew what it meant, because they were even the fans were like a little bit like tedious about, I mean not tedious, a little bit quiet about like actually singing the songs, because I could see the players already hyping them up and like, come on, like don't be quiet in the stadium. We're playing at home. We need you.
All right. This, I actually thought this was like a, if not necessarily perfect, but a good dress rehearsal for the kind of game I expect from Porto. They're not nearly as big as Brentford are. Brentford might be the biggest team in the league. Arsenal is pretty big, but Brentford, like, they can put out some fucking hulks, you know, like all, the full 11, you know, like the smallest person in their lineup to my memory was David Raya, and they sold him to us. So the keeper is way bigger than he was, you know, so they're just big dudes. And the game was just kind of ragged, and I felt like, I forget the ref's name. I'm trying to forget these things because it's not the best habit to keep. But I feel like I remember him from him reffing us away at Southampton probably last season. And he's just always struck me. Every time I see this guy, I think his name is Robert Jones. Every time I see him, I'm like, this is going to be a rough and tumble game. And he was the perfect ref of this game, to be honest. You know, like for it to go in a fashion that would make me very uncomfortable personally. But overall, I see all that. And I'll say that his performance was unimpeachable for me. I don't think he did anything wrong per se. I just think he was a little too Brentford lenient, if you will. Like, I thought he could have booked them sooner. Like, when he started by booking Onyeka very early in the game, I thought to myself, okay, good start. Then he started letting them get away with shit. And I think that affected our form.
Have we not talked about that before on this pod? About how I feel like we feel like the Arsenal don't get the benefit of the doubt as the home team. We don't get that Emirates, like, give us the calls because we're the home team nonsense. We never get that. I felt that in this game a lot. Like that first Gabriel foul was a yellow card, and I was like, we played 5 minutes. Like, all right, okay.
Yeah, it annoyed me, but I think he got it for dissent. You know, I don't think the foul itself was worth the yellow card, but it was dissent. And honestly, I understand why he was upset about it, because Wissa pushed him while he was up in the air. Then he grabbed at him very briefly, and the guy just went right back down. You know, or right down. So I can understand being frustrated at that, but I kind of clocked it as a moment of immaturity from Gabriel, because I'm like, it's not like you're not gonna undo the call. Why are you arguing? Like, why are we, you know? But, you know, thankfully it didn't end up meaning anything. But let's just get straight to the goal, because the raggedness of the game was not fun to watch and it made me nervous. Ben White, man. I've already christened this in my head the Ben White game. Mitch, we know he has this in him. We know that there's more to his game that Arteta hasn't really unleashed, or certain things that he suppressed. Because I remember when he played center back in his first season, those crossfield passes, we don't really see those anymore. You know, but that's not what he pulled out today. Today was a cross. I don't know that I sort of think of Ben White. I mean, he's done it before. He's had assists, but I just don't know that I think of him as creating the sort of goals he created today. Spoiler alert. But Mitch, take it away on your boy Deck, since you guys are so friendly that you're calling him by his nickname or some shit. Like,
I mean, all I gotta say is that I'm thrilled that the Ben White game came, what, like 3 days after you guys were like, yeah, he's definitely replaceable in the Arsenal team. So I'm just gonna like run that victory lap real quick right after you guys were saying
who's
that.
Who's you guys?
Both of you! Both of you! What the fuck are you talking about?
No, you're mischaracterizing our stance. We said that Urien Timber is probably a more talented footballer than Ben White. And when he's healthy, there's a strong chance that he's coming for that spot. So that debate doesn't need to be had today at all. At all. Because Urien Timber isn't back yet. So what are we talking about? Huh? Stop being a hater, Mitch. Don't mischaracterize our words. Don't put words in our mouth. Come on.
Lying on my name.
That white man shit. What's wrong with you, Mitch? How dare you? How dare you take advantage of our hospitality, motherfucker? Ah.
Anyway, cool half space cross from Ben White. It was cool. He should do that more. He did it again in the game after the goal. I saw him attempt it again, and I was like, "Oh, it worked!" And now he's going for it again. I like it. But it was great stuff. He had a fucking fantastic game.
Yeah. So, Gabby, I'm kind of thinking that we need to more often than not play Declan Rice the way we've been playing him the last few weeks with an even more defensive midfielder alongside him. How are you feeling about that? Because I know long term the plan is him as the sixth, but I'm liking this. You can't argue with goals.
I was thinking that. I agree. I think long term the plan is him as a six. I just think he has the minerals to do that. But with him, with what we have in Georgie right now, he's, first of all, Georgie's on a heater. But also it just unlocks him. He doesn't have to sit deep and like marshal the back line. We can play to his strengths, and he also wants to score more, which he did in this game. I love watching. I think my favorite thing to watch Declan Rice do is just maraud up the field with the ball. Like, he just, his runs sometimes are tantalizing. They're great. I love it.
Yeah, I wish he'd. I don't want to sound churlish about it, given the fact that we're all happy, but I wish
you'd be about to kill my vibe.
I feel like the runs never, like, I feel like the percentage of those runs that end with something dope is too low for me. But the one he did today where he ran through Brentford's team and sprayed across with past the Saka, that was pretty nice, even though Saka hit it over the bar right afterwards. Gosh, now if this game feels like a game, I would love to know the stats for the time, the amount of time the ball was in play, because Brentford started early with that shit.
Oh my God.
I think that plays into like what I was saying earlier with like just the vibes being off at the end of the first half, where and the way I was feeling the entirety of the second half was just like a sense of dread because of how Brentford were playing with that. They did not want the ball in play. There was a man going down every 2 seconds. It was so frustrating to watch as a fan. I can't even imagine how frustrating it would be as a player, like on Arsenal, trying to actually play our game. But we've got a whistle every 4 seconds, and you can't actually like develop a rhythm, get back into it, which is the point. Brentford wanted to play like this. They wanted to disrupt our rhythm, and I think it was very, very effective until Kai Havertz scores again.
Yeah. I think a reason why it was effective was because of the ref. Because he's one of those refs that insists on every dead ball having to be a dead ball. He's not going to let you play fast. It's like, yo, we want to play. Like, a couple times in the game, I count at least 2 instances where we tried to play fast and he called it back because he wasn't ready. You know, and that's exactly what a team like Brentford wants on a day like this. And the shit was mad annoying. Go on, Gabby.
I was going to say the same thing. I think it's because I tweeted it during the game, but I was like, this is the only way to beat Arsenal right now is to rely on the ref to slow the game down. Time waste and kick them and time waste. And it's just, it's infuriating to watch. Cause even if you're not an Arsenal fan, as a, like a viewer who's, you know, has no skin in the game, it's terrible watching. Like, it's terrible to watch. It's just like, I just want to see the team play. That's it. I just want to see the teams play.
I don't know, girl. How many Englishmen do you know? Because they love that nasty shit. They love that goofy ass pretend soccer bullshit. Negative.
Yeah, well, football. We'll see. Come Euros when you play like that, and let's see if you win the Euros. Then
they just like yelling at Talke. It doesn't matter how he plays. They won't like him. It doesn't matter. I don't like him either. It's fine. Shit. After the goal, like Mitch said earlier, we did kind of control the game. We kind of clicked into gear a little bit until about the last 5-10 minutes of the half, where it was like, guys, we should have scored again by now. You know, like I can count Odegaard hesitating in a moment where he should have shot. Shortly afterwards, Havertz hit one. I think he missed the header. Had
crazy ball for the Havertz chance. That was the one
he chipped.
Yes.
Yeah, that should have gone in.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was a great ball. I can't lie.
But here's the thing, guys. I mean, we watched the Manchester Derby last weekend. It was gross to watch, but we watched it anyway. And we saw Erling Haaland, of all people, miss even easier chances than that. So I think, yes, while these chances that Kai may miss may be glaring chances sometimes, strikers, and he's not really even a striker, even though we play him there, he's just not, okay? He's just not. Like, call it what you want. Maybe we keep him there forever, but he will never be a striker to me. He just,
say that again, because some people get it confused. He is not a striker.
There are certain things that strikers naturally do that Kai Havertz does not do. Like when someone else shoots, he doesn't follow up for the potential rebound. Every striker does that. That's an easy 2 goals per season right there. Kai Havertz will never do that. Why? Because he's not a striker. But in any event, the movement, everything else, like, gosh, like he is. I'm just glad this. I mean, I never had doubts that it would work out, but I'm really excited at how well it's working out.
This is proven to be a very Arteta was right game.
Yeah.
There's been discussions all season about Ramsdale and Raya, and we saw an evidently glaring example on why Raya has been Arsenal's number one goalkeeper. And then there's been conversations all season on why did we spend so much on Kai Havertz? Why did we buy Kai Havertz? How does Kai Havertz fit in this team? Well, he won us this game, and he won us the reverse fixture as well, and he was a big part in beating Liverpool and a big part of beating City. Like, this guy is a very, very important part of this team. And it's not, he's just playing well in March. He's been doing this all season.
He's
had his rough patches, but like, he has been a very, very successful signing just flat out at this point. It's not even like the, oh, if Kai helps us beat City and Liverpool, he's a good signing. He's just been a good signing. He's just been a very, very good player. I don't think that there's an argument for it at this point, other than if you're just stuck in your ways and angry that Kai Havertz is an Arsenal player. And if that's the position that you want to put yourself in, fucking fine. I don't give a shit. But just know that history won't be on your side.
Listen, it sounds like you're a Chelsea fan if you think that. I don't know what to tell you.
Speaking of Chelsea, I don't know if you guys saw a report from one of our ITKs that we quite like. Ivan Tony, someone revealed, let me see if I can find this tweet and actually just read it out.
Sort of is it Teams and Ticks? Is it that one?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he tweeted,
yeah,
we're a lot more comfortable saying this after that being the game. The reason why we aren't going for Tony is because they really dislike him as a person. The words they used were a lot stronger, but I thought I'd keep it PG. That
as soon as I read that,
when you think about it, doesn't it?
As soon as I read that, I said, bitch, me too. The fuck? Like, fuck that guy. He just seems like an asshole. And not in a, like, Thierry Henry, he's a bastard on the pitch, but, you know, like, he's a vibe off. No. He's just an asshole, and he talks too much. Like, I don't, whatever you guys, and I say you guys loosely, whatever people who like Tony saw, I don't see what you guys see. I've never seen it. I don't know. But Arteta, if that's what keeps him away from Arsenal, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I won't lie. I advocated for Tony as an option in the past. But as time has gone on and I've seen the other available options, you know, because it all depends on what you can do as a club. You know, I advocated for Tony when I thought he was maybe the best we could do, given what was on the market. And now that there's much better and people that Arsenal players don't hate already, I'd rather any of them over him. So if this means that, I think he probably ends up at Chelsea. He seems like such a Chelsea player to me.
I was going to say that. He's the most Chelsea player I've ever seen. I fucking hate him already. Like,
it's a good place to start. But I also felt like, just based on the fact that whole tweet that he did back in the day will always be a part of the Arsenal Brentford narrative, it just feels a bit, and I hate to use the word, but I'm going to use it anyway. It feels a bit cuckish as a club to buy that player after he shit-talked us, that even though we've paid him back 20 times over, you know, because a big matchup for me today was Saliba versus Tony. I really wanted to watch that, because last season, in that game that VAR essentially stole from us, Tony dominated William Saliba. Like, we haven't really seen that happen before or since, but he really dominated Saliba, and that made me very uncomfortable. I didn't like it. So I was really glad to see today that, for the most part, he didn't really do much. That said, he did have a shot. But before we get to that shot, let's talk about the Ramsdale
moment. Things to say.
Yeah, let's talk about the Ramsdale moment a bit more. Yabby, what should he have done in that moment?
Anything else? Like, literally anything. You know, I don't know if anybody else notices it, but I notice it whenever he gets ball back, he does this little stutter step, like he steps three times before he releases the ball. And I always think, I'm like, Aaron, you look up as you're going to release the ball. It like, it gives you enough time to look up and see who you want to pass to, but you should already know who you want to pass to. You should already know. Like there was, I mean, you could have given it back to Gabrielle. You could have passed it to Saliba. You could have kicked it out to Ben White, who was open on the byline. I do anything but that. Shit, if he had done a Cruyff turn and made Wissa go past him, I would have been like, oh shit, okay, you're feeling yourself today. But he didn't do any of that stuff. I hate this narrative because it frustrates me, and it's something that you can't technically change in players. But this narrative that Mikel Arteta started, where he was like, he's just not brave enough. I want my goalkeepers to be brave. Like, he said that about Raya. He's like, Raya is very brave on the ball. He doesn't start kicking it out. Aaron doesn't do the things I want him to do, and that's why he's on the bench. And you can see today. It just is what it is. I wanted him to be more brave in that moment and just be like, all right, I know where I want to put it. I like, these guys don't scare me. And when we get to the Tony shot, which we will, I have things to say, because these guys don't respect you, Aaron. These guys do not respect you, Aaron.
I mean, the error essentially happened at halftime, which is probably, you know, I mean, I don't know that there's ever a good time to concede a goal, but that's a bad time to concede a goal, because you're going into the locker room. And I feel like I heard something about Havertz saying, he was interviewed after the game and he said something about the conversation during halftime. Did anyone hear anything about this, or am I making it up?
I
don't know. Someone said something in a group chat, you know, like, but in any event, I'm really curious as to what kind of conversations were going on in there, because the team was generally supportive in that moment, but surely they would have felt like jumping them in the locker room, Mitch.
Yeah, I saw someone in my Twitter mentions said that it was like a hospital ball, and like, no, he wasn't. He had time on the ball. Saliba's wide open. He's able to make a pass. He doesn't, and he pays the price for it. Pretty bad moment. I'm thrilled that it didn't cost us, and I'm thrilled that that wasn't the like lasting moment of Aaron Ramsdale in an Arsenal shirt, because bar injury to David Raya, that's probably the last time we see Aaron Ramsdale in an Arsenal shirt. And all I gotta say is, love Aaron Ramsdale for like the character that he is, but like, sometimes, man, you gotta tone that down. Like, the only reason Kai Havertz's goal at the end of the game is a winner is because you fucked up. Don't be cupping your ears and knee sliding in front of the, like, what the fuck are we doing?
I was on Pluto. I was like, shame, no dude. Way.
Listen, man, listen, they were probably giving him the worst fucking pelters while he switched ends, because he was on the Brentford side of things during the second half, and I'm sure he was hearing the worst. So, listen, man, for as long as he's wearing an Arsenal shirt, fuck it. Talk your shit, boy. Talk your shit. Like, you know, like, in the moment, me, I would not have done that, because I'm a different kind of guy, you know. But
yeah, you can't shame the shameless, though.
Exactly. He's a shameless man, and this is why he won't last long at Arsenal. This is why he's leaving. But even so, we're grateful. In any event, yeah, after the big mistake, we went in at 1-1, and the bad vibes from a little earlier in the game kind of came back, and I thought to myself, this is going to be way harder than it needs to be. That said, it could have been much harder if Ramsdale didn't pick himself off the ground and, you know, step up for us. Gabby, you mentioned you wanted to talk about the Tony shot.
Aaron, these men do not respect you. Like, if I see someone shooting from the halfway line to try it, not even like chip him. He was, that wasn't a chip. He like legitimately shot that ball and it was going in. Thank God that Ramsdale made that save, but Lord, I was like, you see what you've started? Like, do you see the nonsense? There's no way. I was just like, yeah, this is going to be one of those games where I thought we were going to win it, but I was like, this is going to be one of those games where we win it, but it's closer than it should be. Like, that was absurd. That shot was absurd. And 100% that was going in. Like, thank God he did that save, because it would have been nasty on the timeline and in the Emirates Stadium. I know that crowd would have been quiet.
Oh, man, it would have been bad. Mitch, how would you rank that save on your Mitch's saves metrics, like out of 10?
I don't know. It saved a goal, so 10. and it saved me from having war flashbacks to Sporting last year. Yeah. So,
like honestly, all I could think in the moment was that it was just a really good save. It was a really good shot by Tony. I think it's just one of those things that you have to expect to happen given the starting position of goalkeepers these days. Like every so often, a ball is going to drop perfectly to a striker and he's going to be like, fuck it. And he almost fucked us with that. Fuck Ivan Tony real quick.
Yeah, for real.
One more time for the road. Fuck Ivan Tony. I was trying to fuck my weekend up. But, you know, God loves me and he doesn't love you. Or she, because God is Williams. I don't know if you guys knew that. God, Serena Williams. Same being, honestly. But that's kind of Talk about that later. Then Shane got mad stressful because right after that, there was a Gabriel header that should have gone in, but Yano cleared it off the line. And Gabby looked stressed. Go ahead.
Oh, Gabriel. I was like, I felt it too. I was like, is this the game where Gabriel saves us? I was like, somebody's going to rise up and save us in this game. And I was hoping it'd be him because I love him. Down, that's my boy. But when he rose to get that ball and they cleared it off the line, I was like, no. No, what a header. Thank God. I mean, for Brentford, thank God they had somebody on the line, because that was definitely going in. Like, that guy is a menace on set pieces. Like, it's absolutely absurd. I know, like, if you look at the numbers, he scored more goals than any other defender since he's started at Arsenal, I think. Mm-hmm. But like when you watch us play, I know it's a lot of shithousery on the set pieces. Ben White's doing dark arts nonsense and Gabriel's running around and Kai's somewhere floating. But like, you know, they're trying to get on Gabriel's head every single time. And like that he deserved a goal for that one. Oh my God.
Yeah. It just didn't happen though, which pissed me the hell off because it made me nervous, even more nervous.
It pissed my FPL off too. Shit, I wasn't getting the clean sheet points. At least give me a goal.
Oh man. Then there was a Trossard penalty claim. Roslev kind of cuffed him around the neck. And the commentator was kind of right, I thought, Mitch, in that if the Odegaard ball was a little closer to Trossard or just closer to the action, that we probably get that penalty. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as I was seeing the replay, is like, he's probably not scoring that, or he's probably not getting to the ball, which is the biggest signifier. I think with almost all of our penalty shouts, it was like they weren't called on the field, so it's tough to overturn. If that was called on the field, I don't think that's getting overturned. Same thing with the Gabriel thing later in the game. If that's called a penalty on the field, it's not getting overturned, but it wasn't called on the field, so it's also not getting overturned. And, you know, we won the game, so we don't have to talk about, ooh, should this have been a penalty, which is my least favorite conversation in soccer. So this is great.
I agree. I fucking hate talking about ref decisions.
Well, I can't wait till we talk about blue cards all the time, since you guys are so fancy and don't want to talk about ref decisions. Bums. There was a Kai Havertz dive, because that's what it was. Gabby, justify his actions. This is your boy.
That's what it was.
It's on you.
Yes, it was a dive. I do think he made contact with him. It just wasn't enough contact for him to go down. And that's just it. Like, he was trying to sell it, which, fair enough. I'll allow it. But I will say, They like to, I feel like they're always more harsh on Arsenal players when they like to sell a foul that they think is a foul, because the way that I've heard over the years them talk about a Harry Kane or a Son or whoever selling a foul, and it's, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. But when it's Arsenal players, we get fucking like roasted. I'm like, it is what it is. Okay. He didn't get the second yellow and that's all I care about.
Yeah. I like the partisan opinion there. I really appreciate that you stood up for us, because fuck all that talking about, oh, he got a second yellow card. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. That's not even football. He appealed lightly.
Exactly. Yeah,
it was a dive, though. It was a dive. I ain't like that. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't dive. You should absolutely dive. It's a professional thing to do. Just do it better, you know?
Yeah,
that's all. Dive better.
Advice.
Then we had what I consider to be Ramsdale's true redemption moment in the game, when I think we were pinned back a little bit from a Brentford set piece. In the second phase of that set piece, a cross came in. Nathan Collins' header should have gone in, Mitch. How would you rate that save? And you can't rate it a 10. Not because it wasn't a 10, but because I don't like the answer from the last time.
Well, you've made it the scale that I all of a sudden I have to follow. And
it's
so
crazy,
I like
man. It's
create
crazy.
The
Podcasting
rules
crazy, bro.
To the right. Scale on the fly. And I don't know how to rate saves. It was a really good save. It is exactly why Ramsdale will go for a good amount of money this summer. The $10 million that took off of his evaluation when he let in that stupid ass goal, we gained it back on that save. Great job, Aaron. You're still going to be sold for $40 million. Good shit.
Yeah, I'm just glad he got that redemption moment. Because there's a good chance we would have won anyway. Even if we went 2 down, I'd still back Arsenal to figure it out. But you'd hate for, like Mitch said earlier, you'd hate for the abiding memory to be this bum made a bunch of mistakes and conceded 2 goals in a period where we were barely conceding anything. You know, like, I would hate for us to be talking about him like that when he's at, I don't know. Where do you think he ends up?
I do not think he ends up at Chelsea, actually. He has to be at a lower level team. If Chelsea want to get back to where they need to be, they're not going to buy Ramsdale. Like, if Pickford wasn't at Everton, I would say Everton, but.
So we should hope they do buy him then. I guess
this is true. I guess this is true.
My reasoning behind it is that I think that it is still a position that they can improve, despite the fact that I think Petrovic has been good and Sanchez has been okay. And they are a team that can actually afford him, and we've shown no qualms with doing business.
Can they afford him?
Yes.
I would say, what about Newcastle? Because like, if they didn't have Pope, maybe. I can see that.
I could see Newcastle as well. I had heard rumors in January because of Pope's injury, and he is better than Pope. I think so. I don't know. That was an opinion I had when he was our starting goalkeeper. I don't know if that's an opinion I still have.
Yeah, Pope is not that great with his feet, so I think there's a gap there between them. Definitely, I think from a shot stopping standpoint, Pope might be slightly ahead. But depending on how you want to play, you know, like if you don't care about that stuff, you just want to lump it forward, then Pope is a better goalkeeper. I think by a scotch. I think. I don't know.
That is a completely fair evaluation.
Yeah, I can't really call it.
Before we get away from it, though, yeah. I will say that that save, thank God he saved that, because I watched it back and I was just like, who was marking this guy? Like, why is he open in the box by himself? The fuck? Like, I was looking at Declan Rice and I was like, he's covering the guy behind him. Kivior or Kai, whoever had that guy, you guys just were ball watching straight up.
Yeah, I wonder if David Raya fixes that by just being really calm. Like, guys, mark your man. Mark your mark, bros. Okay? Thank you.
Good job, like smoking a joint. Like, yes.
Come on, guys.
David Raya of Colorado.
We're better than this, guys.
Come on, guys. Relax. No shots on goal today. Thank you. All right. Declan Rice, you mentioned him. He hit the post with a shot that further made me nervous because I was like, I'd really rather we didn't create than miss chances like this, because it's not even a missed chance, really, because it was a great setup from Odegaard and he wraps his foot around it, but it just hits the angle. Mitch?
Fantastic shot, and I wish it got in because that would have been crazy to like win on a screamer like that. But you brought up Odegaard, and I just need to give him his flowers real quick because I thought he was very, very good once again today, especially at the beginning of the game. He was just cooking. Like, every time he received the ball, it's sticking to his foot. He's, like, using his body in such unique ways to get away from defenders, and he is just such a joy to watch when he's, like, on that kind of level. And it's a shame that he didn't get a goal or an assist today because I feel like he played well enough to deserve it. But he was so, so good. And I can't let this podcast end without us talking about how good Odegaard was.
I'm sure he was going to get some love because we always do a man of the match. Well, not always, but we're going to do one today because I felt like the choice was a little more murky. I'm giving it to Ben White. But, you know,
for the record, mine's not Odegaard. It's also Ben White.
This is Benny Blanco.
This is the Ben White game, I would say. Like, because 2 assists for a right back that's not universally known for being an offensive powerhouse. I mean, that's just impressive. We're at the goal. So, yeah, Ben White, Odegaard set up Odegaard played the ball to Ben White that led to the cross. And I'm glad that you already gave him his props. But I think the one thing I noticed, we'll talk about the goal in a second here, but Gabriel ran backwards to go celebrate with Ramsdale instead of joining the rest of the group, which I thought was really cute. That's your cue, Gabby.
One of my captains. I love that guy. He was I think it was Mikel who said it after the game. He said when they went into halftime, they really wanted to win the game for Aaron, like when they came out. So I'm glad that they have that camaraderie with each other, because, you know, when does the team lose the team? You know, we're not on that Harry Kane Spurs shit where I'm leaving here with my two goals, even though we lost. Bullshit.
Y'all lost, not me.
But yeah, I'm glad he did that. But that goal, yeah. Whoo, baby. I screamed my head off, and all I could think about is if you ever seen me on the timeline, I have a really good friend named Jess, who's also an Arsenal fan. And all I could think about was our game against Brentford the last time. Our game against Brentford the last time, you know, away from home, Kai Havertz scoring that match winner. And she sent me a voice note that day that was like, yeah, stand by your man. Because I've been saying that Kai was going to score in that game. He scored in this game again. And I just love being right. Like, I love being right. Love that for me.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, my roommates aren't home, so that means I can scream when Arsenal score, because I'm not going to get texts like, hey, shut the fuck up. And I needed to scream because it was like a very cathartic goal, because it was just such a fucking miserable second half to watch, because there was just like the like dread of like, yeah, we're creating chances, but we're not scoring. I've seen this before. I hate this. And it was a very, very cathartic goal to see us score. And it's like, oh my God, the sense of relief to like, okay, we're going to fucking win this now. Thank God. was a very, very good feeling.
Yeah, I've kind of skipped the subs, because it's not that I felt that they weren't significant or that Mikel didn't do something different, but I just don't think Zinchenko came on, and I think Rhys Nelson came on for Jorginho went off first as well, because Jesus came on.
Yeah.
Jesus came on as well. Yeah. But I'm not going to say any of them were good or bad, but I don't really feel like they had an impact on the goal going in. So, you know, I don't know. They were probably good subs just for people's legs, you know, just in general, and to give people fitness. But I don't think there's a long conversation to have about those folks today. But this apparently was the first time Kai Havertz has scored in four consecutive Premier League games.
I saw that.
So maybe he is a striker.
He's also now hit this is his highest goal tally in a season in the Premier League. You know, once you get that stench off you, that Chelsea blue, you're able to score some goals. So it's great.
Yeah, because fuck Chelsea. We hate Chelsea in this house.
Yeah, fuck Chelsea. Like, we got a manager that has the right laundry skills to wash clean Chelsea scum and make them actual taxpayers again. It's nice. It's very nice.
Except for Willian. We don't need to talk about Willian, but that's an exception.
You know, peak COVID was a weird time, okay? Shit was weird.
It's true.
That move today, it works out, guaranteed.
COVID tax, for sure.
I don't miss. Like, come on, man. Shit, eight wins in a row in the league, top of the league. I don't really know how to feel anymore. Like, can we just end it now? Like, end the not the pod, like the league, like end the league now.
I would love for us to do that. I mean, I just wanted us to do the business today, so we don't have to worry about whatever happens tomorrow. Is what happens tomorrow. Right. Like, we won't be in third. Who cares? So yeah, that's what I wanted. I always want that. The like our destiny to be in our own hands always, and if we didn't win this game, it was not going to be in our own hands, and I didn't want that like pressure on them at the Etihad, because we already know that's a big game. Us dropping points, if we had dropped points today, us dropping points and then going to the Etihad would have been I feel like too much.
Yeah, they would call that a wrap, and and we'd be forced to believe it when we didn't win, as if, you know, titles are lost in one day or whatever. Mitch, you're gonna watch the game tomorrow, right? I hope.
We'll see. I'm weird about hate watching.
For shame. For shame.
I mean, somebody's dropping points, so you can't lose.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll probably watch it, and I guess it's different when it's a game like this. It's not like Man City's playing against Nottingham Forest, and I'm like, oh, maybe they'll drop points, like fucking Charlie Brown with the football. But yeah, I mean, we'll see.
what do you think will happen? That's what I really want to know. Like, based on the form and everything at the moment, What do you think happens? Where they're playing? It's City at Anfield. They've only ever won there during the COVID season, I think. They've gotten a couple draws. It's a very even matchup between Pep and Klopp over the years. So what do you think happens? I hate that I feel this way, but my suspicion is that City actually beat them at home this time.
Yeah. I think it's a win or it's a draw. I think it's a City win or a draw. I just think that Liverpool are too open at the back for City to not, like, I just think Foden's, who's on a heater right now, Foden and Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne has to stand up again. Like, he hasn't been exactly right since he came back. He's had a few games where he's not getting the GA that we expect every single game. If he's going to raise it, it's going to be in this game, I think.
Maybe they had white sleeves. That asshole loves raising it against us, fucking prick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So Mitch, we're not letting you off the hook. What's going to happen in this game?
I was going to talk. I wasn't trying to escape anything. I think that I keep my mind with Liverpool keeps going to, like, I feel like there's holes in their team and I feel like there's things that are stopping them from being as good. And then they keep winning. And it really feels like it's just like the power of Klopp's retirement is just like going to keep pushing them.
Or as you called it last week.
In the same way, devil magic.
There we go. There we go. We're going to trademark that someday. So keep it going. Keep it going.
Yeah. But in the same way, you know, City have cheating devil magic. So I don't know. The stat about them not winning at Anfield is interesting, but also it's hard for anyone to win at Anfield. I think I'm going to say what I want to happen, and that is a draw.
I mean, who's the bigger of the two evils? Like, who has the worst magic?
Who's the bigger of the two evils?
For me, I think Rodri cannot be defeated. I'm sorry. I think Rodri cannot be defeated. He's a bigger evil than anyone else in this league.
He is the big evil. He is the Undertaker. But
he hasn't lost a game
too, so he can donate blood. That's absurd. Don't worry about it. He lives in student accommodation because he wants to pay lower rents. And he donates blood, guys. He's so nice.
I have a Declan Rice to deal with him. Don't worry about it. I guess. I don't know if we should do this. How do you guys feel about it? I mean, I'm a little superstitious about this kind of thing, but the next game we play is against Porto. We're not going to get to meet before then. So again, as I said earlier, this felt a bit like a preview of that sort of game, even though Porto aren't quite as big as these guys, but it was the same vibe. Do you think, I mean, I think we all believe in our hearts that we're going to win, but what kind of win do you think it's going to be? Like, is it going to be something like this or something like we've had in the last couple of weeks, Gaddy?
I think it's going to be something like this. We don't, the pedigree in the Champions League, the pedigree in Europe is not there for us. And it's a huge game. Like, we haven't reached the quarterfinals in, God, like, I don't even know, 14 years or something like crazy like that. I think it's going to be a hard fought win, or at least I hope. Fingers crossed it's going to be a hard fought win. No more injuries, play the game, like play the team that we think we play in all the big matches. Yeah. It's going to be rough.
Okay. So you'd go for the Jorginho protocol.
Yeah, for sure.
Mitch, your turn.
I think a lot of it depends on how the game is able to flow, specifically in how it's reffed. Not in like the big decisions, but in the more minuscule moments. We look at like a game like today where there's a lot of stoppages and stuff like that, and it felt very much like Porto away, where we weren't able to like be as physical because it kept getting whistled and stuff like that. It's harder to find your rhythm in that kind of game. So if it's another game like that, it's going to be another one like this where we're going to have to fight tooth and nail to try to score goals. If it's not like that and we're able to play our game, I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to be able to break down Porto. They will come with a deeper block. They're in with a lead. But I still think that it's the same situation down 1-0 than it is 0-0 going into this game. And I think that we can do it. We have a good enough team to do it. Honestly, the biggest thing that scares me is Arsenal fans being too big for their britches and being like, oh, we could kick Real Madrid's ass. Guys, we're 1-0 down in aggregate. Let's cool it.
I'm coming back like next week. I'm like, yo, cool you guys. Relax.
Hey, like, yeah, I don't know if you guys saw Thierry Henry on CBS earlier this week for the Champions League. That clip got circulated a little bit on Twitter. But if even Thierry Henry isn't being arrogant about the possibility of us beating Porto, and I think Arsenal fans need to cool down a bit. Like, I'm optimistic. I'm very, very hopeful. I'm even a little confident, but we still got to do it, you know. So let's focus on Porto. Real Madrid will be there if we get there. So in any event, folks, anything else for these people? No. Seems like it's a no.
I'm good.
Fuck Chelsea. Fuck Ivan Toney and fuck Brentford. I hate all of you.
That, I can't think of a better place to leave it. I had a thought, but fuck it. Let's go home. Tell the people peace.
Peace.
I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation. My plantation. My plantation. Ah. Plantain, plantain. Plantain, plantain.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.